want to thank the church for permitting me to be a part of your service this morning. And I want to say that I'm just, if I'm called at all, I'm just an old country Primitive Baptist preacher. And if you want to call me a hard sell, well, that'll be all right. Just go right ahead. But anyway, I found out in our years of making the attempts that you can't preach without the Lord. Now, that's just a must. I get up here and if it's me, why, it'll be as a sound and brass and tinkling of the cymbal. It won't be any good. But if the Lord blesses, things will be well with us. I want to appreciate everybody that has come and introduced themselves and welcomed me here and my wife. And I've got a different Bible. I keep this in the pickup, and it's a little bit ragged. And sometimes my preaching's a little ragged too, but it's me if it does. But my wife left my main Bible at home. You know, we always look for somebody to put our mistakes off on, so she gets a lot of it. But this one's got the same thing in it that one does. And it's also ragged, but the children bought me a new Bible, but I don't like it because the word runs on the fold of it, and I can't read it. But I hope that you'll pray, and maybe I'm selfish. Many times I say, pray for me, and I should say, pray for the service. Pray for God's service. I don't mount anything, but God does, and our service to Him is what's important. And this is serious business this morning. You know, whenever we meet to serve the Lord, this is serious. And we are to try to get our minds clear and give it as much holy to the Lord as we can. So you pray this morning. Sometimes I get kind of loud, and I don't know about this thing, what it's going to do, but maybe it don't bite anyway. But when I started out, and I was pretty young, that's a long time ago when I was young, believe me, and I started exercising, and I was loud, and still am at times, but the old deacon came in, he said, Brother Harley, you're doing good, but you're too loud. You need to hold your voice down. And I said, well, you know, maybe he's right. So the next Sunday I tried it. I tried to hold my voice down, you know, not get too loud. And, you know, there wasn't nothing happening. And so I said, you know, if the Lord called me, he called me. The deacon didn't. And I just turned it loose after that. I just done what I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. So this morning, and right now, my wife will scold me for these things, but I won't pull this coat off. I hope this ain't getting y'all's rules. I'm not used to wearing a coat. I'll pitch it right over here. But I want to start out kind of telling a story, and if the Lord, I remember one time that I tried to preach, and the Lord wasn't there, it was me. And I was trying to preach on the book of Ruth, and I didn't know whether Neoma was Ruth's grandmother or great aunt or what. I got some messed up. But that's the way we can do, you know. Our mind can just go. But I want to talk about a man in the Old Testament here. He had 12 sons, and his name was Jacob. And they later, God related to change it to Israel, but anyway, Jacob had 12 sons. And when I say, and I, And I believe that in this Bible there's men that we, when we say that type of Christ, I got scolded in East Texas for that. Man said, y'all are saying there's another Jesus, and I'm not, so just don't misunderstand me. But there's men in there in the Bible that their life and everything was kind of parallel to what Jesus was. Now, they wasn't a Savior, and they wasn't. There's not but one Jesus, one Savior. So we'll get that straight to start with. But I said, well, I'm not saying there's another Jesus. I'm saying that this man's life was kind of parallel with it. And I think one of the sons of Jacob was a type of Christ, and that was Joseph. You know what I'm talking about, and I'm sure all of you do. I think that in the book of Ruth, I think that Boaz was a type of Christ. But anyway, this is such strange things happening here. And I'll no doubt leave out some things that I should put in, and I hope I don't put in something that's not there. But anyway, Joseph was next to the youngest. Benjamin was the youngest. And so no doubt God had chosen Joseph way back there to do some things. We'll talk about that. And Joseph had a dream. Joseph had a dream, and his brothers, they despised him because he dreamed that they bowed down to him, and they didn't like him. In fact, they didn't like that at all. And so he had another dream. Dreamed his mother and daddy bowed down to him, and they didn't like that either. So they were all out except Joseph and Benjamin. They were home with their father. He sent Joseph out to check on the other brethren. They was out in a different part of the country feeding sheep, I believe, tending to sheep. And he told them to go out and see how his brethren did. So he went out and he went to one place, and they wasn't there. And he inquired, and they said they'd move over to another place. So he went over there. And they seen him coming afar off, and they despised him. And they said, here comes this dreamer. Let us kill him. Well, I believe it was Reuben. Now, y'all don't hold me to this, but I believe it was Reuben said, no, let us not kill him. So they took him and put him in a pit. There wasn't no water in it, but they put him in that pit. And later they seen a tribe of Ishmaelites, I believe, coming. They were traitors. And so they said, well, we'll just sell him. And they did. They sold him. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Here's where I see me like the parallel with Christ begin to come in. They crucified Jesus, and they sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But let's back up and get it right. We sold him 30 pieces of silver. We crucified him. I was there. My sins brought him to that place. But anyway, they took him and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and the Ishmaelites sold him to man in Pharaoh's army, Potiphar, I believe was his name. And the Lord just blessed him. He became, head over all the house of Potiphar. And he was blessed, and they and was doing well. And Potiphar's wife, she wrongly accused him, and he accused him and made a big show of it, and his master took him and threw him in prison. He went to prison. Again, we see Jesus. He was in prison. And the Lord blessed him. And he became, famous maybe over the prisoners and all. And there was the butler and the baker that had offended their king, and they were put in that prison. So they had a dream, each one of them. And so they came in sad one morning, and Joseph began to ask them why they were so sad. And he said, well, we had this dream. It, each one of them told their dream, and Joseph interpreted for them. In 3 days, the butler was going to be restored to his butlership, and in 3 days, the baker was going to be killed, and he was. This dream come true. So butler got out of, it's like the dream, it's like he interpreted the dream. He got out and went back to his job of the king, serving him as a butler. And later on then, the Pharaoh had a dream. And his dream was that he was standing by a river, and he saw out of this river they came up seven kind, fat and beautiful, fat and just nice. And then after that there came up seven lean flesh kind. And they were bad, they were poor, and they looked bad. The Bible says such badness as we've not seen before. But the lean flesh, they ate up the fat flesh, and then they didn't even gain any weight, you know, they just looked the same. So Pharaoh had another dream then. He had two dreams. And he seen out of the river, there come a stalk of corn, and it had seven beautiful ears on it, all full, and just this beautiful, nice ears of corn. And then there came up seven bad little, we used to call them nubbins when I was growing up. We fed them to the hogs, and they were blistered with the east wind. And then these seven bad ears, they ate up the good ears. And so Pharaoh, you know, he didn't know what to think about this. He couldn't imagine what all this meant, so he called in his astrologers and magicians and all the wise men that he had and said, I want you to interpret this dream for me. Well, they couldn't do it. So none of them could interpret the dream. So this butler said, I do remember my faults now. When I was in prison, I and the baker had a dream, each one of us. And there was one of the Hebrews in there, and he interpreted our dreams, and they came true just like he said they would. So Pharaoh said, well, you bring him. So they went out and got Joseph and brought him. And Pharaoh, he explained his dream, you know, about the kind, the seven good ones, and the seven bad, the corn, seven good ears and seven bad. And he said, you know, all my wise men, they couldn't interpret this dream. And I believe Joseph said, now maybe he said it a little different. And he said, God interprets dreams. And he said, I will interpret the dream to you. He said, there's going to be, and said, since God has brought it to you twice, it's the dream is one, but when he brought it twice, it's sure thing. God's telling you what he's going to bring to pass shortly. And so he told him, he said, there's going to be 7 good years in which you'll have plenty. There'll be food everywhere, and your crops will be good. And I'm putting a lot of this in my own word, but you know what I mean. But anyway, and he said, and then after that, there'll be 7 years famine, and it'll be terrible. There'll be no food. And he said, Joseph made a suggestion to him that you get a man that's wise and discreet, and you put him over the food situation, and you store up food when the badgers come. Then you'll have this food in store. And so Pharaoh said, I don't know where we could find a man as intelligent, I'll put, and discreet as you, and we will put you over it. And he put Joseph over all the food of the land. I think about it today. Jesus is over the food that we come. And I hope to, this morning that you're not looking to me to feed you, but we have one that's over it all, and he'll feed us if we're fed. He'll feed us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's over the church, and he's the one that does the feeding. They put Joseph over there. Joseph over the all the food in the whole country of Egypt there. And he, and if they got food, they had to come to Joseph to get it. Well, now we've got Joseph's brother and his father over. And I'm leaving out so much of this. It's pitiful. But anyway, maybe I'll put it in reverse now and get back up and get a load of that. But anyway, Joseph was, y'all bear with me just a minute. Joseph, they, I didn't need to leave this out, but I'm kind of bad about leaving out stuff I ought to put in. Anyway, they come up with a deal that they would take Joseph's coat that his father had made him of many colors, and they would kill a kid, goat, and they would, the sheep, and they would dip his coat in the blood, and they'd take it to their father and say, "Here's his coat. We know not where it went with him." They lied, and Joseph believed it. You know, it's funny how many people that tell stories now. They'll say Christ tried to save you and he couldn't. You wouldn't let him. And you know, you just need some more help and you may get it done. That's a heresy. It's not true. Christ didn't need any help. He was sufficient. Oh, I'll tell you today, I believe in the doctrine of grace, election, predestination. I believe that that God foreknew his people before the world was. And the Bible teaches that and says that he foreknew us before the world was. I go into Timothy and he said, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of God or me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel of the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was offered us in Christ." You wouldn't have it, would you? I'm glad y'all wouldn't have that. Not true. Which was given us in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, he goes to the left hand and to the right, and he tells us how it wasn't, and the time, and how we got it, the whole thing right there in just a few verses of Scripture, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world. What? Well, you believe that? I sure do, and I like to believe it because it's the truth. Which was given us in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, you may not agree with me, but I guess if you disagree with me on this, I disagree with you then. But I'll tell you, I believe that God always knew his people. Now, they say, "Well, you know, God, back there before time, he'd come a time, he said, well, you know, I'm going to come up with something new. I think I'm going to have the world and some people on it." I believe God always knew. He never learned anything. Never forgot anything. So in that case, God always knew his people. He knew them and he loved them forever, from everlasting to everlasting. This is a God that I want to preach to you this morning. If you're looking for a little weak God that is trying to get somebody saved and he just can't quite do it. I'll tell you what, if that's a God that you're looking for, yeah, I don't know him. I don't know him and I don't want to know him. But the God that I believe in has all power over heaven and earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "Jehovah, what doest thou?" This is the God, not a God, he's the God, and there's only one. But anyway, saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world was. I need to back up and get a little more of that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you have something or somebody that comes in and they get on something that's frightening you and cause you to be scared, that's not God's doctrine. You reject that. That's not God. He hasn't given us that spirit. He gives us a spirit of love, of power, a sound mind. Aren't you glad of that this morning? He gives us I tell you, the comfort we get, it comes from the Almighty God in heaven. And I tell you, you can't get it any other way. No other way. You can buy it. You wind up like this. And I'm going to get this a little bit. If the Lord gives me the physical strength and the spiritual strength. But if you try to buy it and pay for it, you wind up just like the sons of Jacob. You try to look around and you get back away and got her sack full. Oh, I need to get something out of it now. And it's untied. There was her money right in the mouth sack. When you try to pay and buy the spiritual things of God, now I'm not saying they're not supposed to give the church. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you can't buy a God and you can't buy his power and his spirit. And if you do, when you open your sack, you'll find your money right back there in the mouth sack. Oh, but listen to me this morning. I want to tell you about the Lord. He's giving us an example. The sons of Jacob, there was a famine in the land and all the food was gone. They got hungry, you know. So Jacob and his brethren, they had sold him to the Ishmaelites over there. They didn't know what went with him, I'm sure. You know, if it did, it didn't have any record in it. But they had Joseph was gone, and his father surmised him to be dead. Oh, he started. When they showed him the coat, he started mourning, and he said, "My son, no doubt." You're talking about imagination. Our imagination gets us in more trouble than you imagine. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I know this is my son's coat. No doubt some animal has devoured him, and he's gone. He's gone. My son's dead. He's not here. He's been devoured. They told him a lie. They told him they didn't know what went with him. They did know what went with him, too. But anyway, now the time had come, and Joseph had moved up, and he was next under Pharaoh, and he had power over all the food, and they got hungry. Guess where they had to go? To Joseph. When you get hungry, you know where you have to go. You have to go to the Lord. And he knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. But anyway, they had to send for Jacob had heard that there was corn in Egypt. And he sent his brother, said, "Why stand you looking at each other? Go over and buy some food." So they went over. And they got over there and they sent him to Joseph. And Joseph, he made himself strange to them. No doubt he'd growed him a beard and all these things, and it'd been a while, and they didn't know him. And he knew what they said, but he spoke to them through an interpreter. And so he made himself strange to them. He said, "You're spies." And they said, "No, we're." And so they asked him, and he said, "We're the sons of one man." Now they're going to tell another lie. One of them's home with their father, and the other one is not. Meant he's dead. And they were talking to him at that time. So he finally put him in prison there for 2 or 3 days. And he finally said, "I'll hold one of you, and the rest of you can go back to your father, this old man of whom you spoke of. And you take the food for your families and for your father. And then, before you come again, you bring me Benjamin with you. If you don't bring Benjamin, you need to come back, because I'm going to prove you now whether you be spies or whether you be true men. They said, we're true men. We're of the 12 sons of our father. One of them's at home. Little Benjamin's at home now with our father. And the other one is not. And they were talking to him. And so he sent them away. And that's when they got out a little ways, and they had instructed the whoever was putting the food in their sack to put the money all back in the mouse sack, in the sack's mouth. So they got out a little ways. One went to feed his animal, and he opened the sack, and there was the money. Well, that scared him. My goodness. So they went on home, told their father, and he, and you know, and it was kind of a frightening situation. And they said, he said, the man over all the food over there, he said, if we came back, we'd have to bring little Benjamin. He said, no. He said, one of the, whoever that kept the woods, Reuben, I don't remember, kept his prisoner over there. And he said, he's not here, and Joseph is not. If you take Benjamin from me and something happened to him, you'll bring down my gray hairs to the grave. Said, no, I can't go. They said, if the man told us plainly, if he didn't bring little Benjamin, we wasn't to come back. We wouldn't see his face again unless brother Benjamin was with us. He said, well, then, finally, he said, if it must be, it must be. And he said, take him and go. We need food for our families. So they went back, and they took little Benjamin with them. And they asked him, is this your brother Benjamin? They said, yes, this is. This is Benjamin. Joseph, he had the love that he had for him. I think about what Christ had for us when we hung him on the tree. And I say we. When we hung him on the tree, oh, I think about what he did. Y'all know what he did? He didn't say, well, you dirty rascals, y'all doing this, it's terrible. He said, Father, forgive them. Praying for us there while we were crucifying, he was praying for us. Brother, this is Jesus that I'm telling you about. And he prayed for us while our sins were crucifying him. But anyway, we got little Benjamin there now. And Joseph, he knew his brother, and he yearned to go and gather him in his arms, but he didn't. And he went in his quarters, and he wept, and he cleaned him, kind of refreshed himself, and came back out, and he told him, he said, you take little Benjamin, and you go on there. And he told him, he said, give them put their food, put their money back in the mouse sack. And he said, and send them on. And he sent them, and he said, now take my cup and put it in the mouth sack of the youngest one. And they did that. And so they went out, and he told them, said, now go out and overtake them and find that cup. And he went out and found it. And he knew where it was at. And that kind of, and they chirped all their sack and came down to Benjamin and said, of course, they told him, said, oh, we be not thieves, you know, whoever's sack you find it in, let him be killed and all this thing. So they found it in Benjamin's sack. So they took him back to the house where Joseph was. Oh, let me tell you, I see the love of Christ that he has for us. Right today, right now. He has that love. I believe Joseph had that love for his brethren. And he brought them all in, and they were to eat with him. And as they ate, he gave, I think, twice as much as little Benjamin as he did the rest of them. But anyway, they come the time then. And I'm not getting the times all straightened out here like I ought to. But anyway, there come the time that Joseph brought them in. And he come up and told him, He said, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph that you sold for the Ishmaelites. I'm Joseph. I'm him. Oh, they couldn't believe it. My goodness. He said, you know what he said? He said, I'm Joseph. Come near me. Come near me. I'm your brother. I love you. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. All you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And Joseph said, come near me. And they came near me, and he fell on their neck and cried. They all wept because of the love that they had there. And he embraced them, and he told them how that he had come to be where he was. And he was over all the land and the food. And he said, you take wagons and you go over and you get, now I want you to listen to this, and you get your family and bring them all back. You go to my father and you tell him their son is alive. And he's over all the land of Egypt, all the food he's over. So they got the wagons. Now I want to show you what evidence will do. Evidence. So they went back. Some of them went ahead of the wagons. They got there before the wagons did. Did y'all ever hear an old wagon out in the country? How it made that noise? And we used to have one, and I'd hear my daddy coming in from the gym. I could hear that wagon just clatter, clatter as it come down the road. But some of them got there, and they said, and they told Jacob, said, the man in whom we've dealt with over there, dealing with, he's governor over all the land, and it's your son Joseph, he is yet alive. And Joseph, his heart faded within, because he believed him not. This is not true, my son Joseph is dead. They told him a lie about it, they believed that, and told him the truth, that they wouldn't be able to believe it. Isn't that just about like people? Yeah. But in a little bit, wasn't long, the old Jacob heard something. I hear the wagon coming, they're telling me the truth, my son's alive. And I will go and see him before I die. Oh, here was a rejoicing. His son was alive. And I had the evidence that he was alive. And I will go and see him before I die. So they took him and they put him in the wagons and all their stuff and everything and all their families. And they went back to Egypt to where Joseph was. And Pharaoh had told him, said, you give him the best of the land. You give your father and the people, your people the best of the land. You know what Jesus done to us? Give him the land of Goshen. Is that right, Goshen? Give him the land of Goshen. And I'll be near you. And I'll nourish you. That's what Jesus done to us. You say, where is the land of Goshen? You're sitting right in the middle of it right now. You're in the best of the land. There's no other land any better than where you're at right now. I know that when little Ruth was gleaning corn back over there, you go not and meet them in any other land. And I'll tell you this morning, you won't find anything any better than the old Baptist church. You won't do it. But he said, now then, he said, give them the land of Goshen, and I'll be near you, and I will nourish you. And let me tell you, that's what Jesus done. He gave us the best of the land. You know, you don't, I'm not ashamed of old Baptist. I just love old Baptist. I always have. And I'm kind of like old brother Lowell McLean. When he said, when he joined, he told him, said, you need to run me off because I just come back. And so But I'll tell you what, and I'm not ashamed of what we believe. I thank God for it. And I believe it just as strong as I can believe anything. Brother, if that's not it, we're all in trouble. But it is it. That is it. But anyway, they brought Joseph and his family, Jacob and all the family, they brought them in and they put them in the land of Goshen. And Jesus brought us and put us in the land of Goshen, in the church. He said, I'll be near you and I'll nourish you. And I'll tell you, the sweet presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing in the world that will compare with it. It won't equal, it'll excel everything in the world. I'll tell you what, the world out there has got so much glitter, it's drugged so many people away till it's unreal, and it's real troublesome to men. But I'll tell you, there's one thing you can rest assured of, God's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. I watch that old poison tube we have in the house. Dumps that poison in the house. And I see things that's happening in this thing. And I don't get into politics. Don't misunderstand me. But this thing that Supreme Court passed the other day made me sick at my stomach, right contrary to God's word. But I'll tell you this much. God is still on the throne. And brother, we don't know how much rests on the back of the old Baptist right now, because God has blessed us with the truth. He's entrusted it in our hands. And we ought to take care of it and thank him for it. And we ought to do our best to use it and to be faithful in God's kingdom here in this world. But anyway, he brought them there. And then you can read on, and I'm going to quit. My wife told me, you say you're going to quit, and then you don't. So I'm going to quit, and I'm going to do it right shortly. But anyway, we see where Joseph met his father, and what a glorious meeting that was. They wept on each other's neck for a good while because of the love that they had for one another. Jesus has a stronger love for us than any love we've ever seen or heard here in this world. And he got them the land over there. Pharaoh come then and he introduced his father, Jacob, to Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to know how old he was. He said, I can't get that exactly right, but he said, the years and evil has been the day of my life. Maybe that's it. I don't know, but that'll get close to the meaning of it anyway. And he told Pharaoh, what's your occupation? Pharaoh asked him, what's your occupation? And they said, we are a herdman. We tend to cattle. It's our business. And so he had one of them to give him charge over his cattle. And so we see the meeting here now. And we can see the love here that there was between Joseph and his brethren. And you think of how it was. Listen to me. When Jesus made himself known to you and said, I'm Jesus, they say, well, the preacher got me to know the Lord. He didn't do it. So-and-so got me to know the Lord. Nobody did it. You couldn't know him. The natural man knows not the things of the Spirit of God. Nor receiveth not things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Did you hear me? Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You show me somebody that knows the Lord, and I'll show you a child of God, child of grace. And I'll tell you today, if it wasn't for the Lord, we wouldn't know him. We didn't go hunting him up, say, I know there's a Lord out there somewhere, and I'm going to try to find him. We didn't do that. We didn't know him. I'll tell you, I lived across the road from a man who said he was an atheist. I don't know what he was. Said he didn't believe in God. I'll put it that way. And so he got sick and had cancer and died. And I said, a lot of these preachers would be jumping the fence to go where I try to save his soul. And I went and seen him, talked to him a few times, but I didn't try to save his soul because I couldn't. And I couldn't introduce him to the Lord and say, look here, this is your Savior here. I couldn't do that either. Brother, I don't know. And he might have had some times there are children of God and they don't know it and you don't know it. But I'll tell you, God knows his. The Lord knows them that are his. He knows every one of them. And he's not going to turn his back on a one of them. He loves them. And I'll tell you, we're so blessed to have the church, the Primitive Baptist Church. And it, somebody says, are you a hard shell? Yes, I am. Don't mind saying so. And I'm thankful for it. I want to thank you for your attention this morning. And I know I've been loud and scattering and everything else, but you'd lay that all to my charge. If you got any, just a little nibble out of it, give that to the Lord. It's him. And so you think upon these things. Pray for the church and the churches and for the man, for the preachers and for God's children and the world's has waxed worse and worse. And I don't think, according to the scriptures, it's going to get any better. I think it'll wax worse and worse. And I'll tell you, I see things going now. That's unbelievable. I can't hardly believe it. But anyhow, like I said a while ago, the Lord is still on his throne. He's still on his throne. And he has as much power today as he had when he made the world. He got as much power. Thank you for your attention. You pray for me.